Praise the Lord. We're recording. Now, see, that works. I set it up. I was here, well, early this morning, working on it to make sure that it worked. Wisdom is something that God provides. It's cherished by a lot of people, and it's held in low regard by others. It's lacking in a lot of people today. Many people lack wisdom. Everyone alive right now could benefit from God's wisdom. Many or maybe most of the problems that are experienced in the world today could be solved with God's wisdom. That word wisdom occurs 222 times in the King James Version of the Bible. It occurs 215 times in the New King James Version, and it occurs 218 times in the New International Version of the Bible. Many of these passages directly tell us that God gives wisdom. In fact, one of these, Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6, it reads like this, "For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." Think of out of the mouth of God, the breath of God. The breath of God. "Breathe on me, O breath of God," we sing. Even me. Some of the passages of the Bible refer to the Spirit of wisdom. The breath of God, the Spirit of wisdom, the Holy Spirit. Other passages just plainly speak of the wisdom of God. The Lord gave Solomon wisdom, and it's written, "King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom." So there's a connection between things going well for you and you having wisdom. Solomon was the wisest man to ever live, and it's written, with riches, with wealth and honor. His wisdom brought him riches, wealth, and honor. In the 28th chapter of Job, we find a powerful speech on wisdom. The 28th chapter of Job. We're not going to read that, but perhaps when you get home, you might want to open your Bible and read the 28th chapter of Job. Job was plagued with many, many problems. All of us have problems. We know what problems are. But Job was plagued with problems. Lots of family members died. All of his animals died. Those of you who keep animals, think about that. If everything died, that's a serious problem. He had problems, okay? He was plagued with sorrows, but in the midst of it, he proclaimed the wisdom of Almighty God. Wisdom is more valuable than precious metals or gems, he said. It's more valuable than gold. It's more valuable than silver. It's more valuable than rubies or diamonds or any other gems. Wisdom. In Job 28:28, it's written, "Unto man, God said, Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom." The fear of the Lord is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. This is what the Word of God says. In Psalm 90 and verse 12, we hear, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." None of us get to live on earth forever. If we learn to number our days and apply our hearts in wisdom, things will go better for us. Even when they go bad. Even when things go wrong. To be able to apply our hearts in wisdom. We know our time is short here on earth. We're not going to live for ourselves if we recognize that our lives are short. And that's not to be a downer. It's to be a realist. We live for God because we know this life is not all there is. Yet so many in the world today think that that's exactly what it is, that it's just this life. It's all we have. I mentioned that yesterday in the funeral meditation. If this was all the life that we have, we're nothing more than bugs to be squashed. That's the truth of it. But we know that we have life everlasting, and that's what gives us hope. And that is wisdom, to remember that, to keep our minds on not just the goals here, but the everlasting goal. In Psalm 111 and verse 10, It's written, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endures forever. So we see wisdom and we see keeping God's commandments go hand in hand. It's a wise thing to pay attention to God's Word. It's a wise thing to live your life according to the Word of God. That's wisdom. In Proverbs 1 and verse 7, it's written, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. You know, whichever version of the Bible that you read, that word wisdom occurs more than three times more often in the Old Testament than in the New. The Old Testament is filled with that word wisdom and teachings on wisdom. If you want to learn about wisdom, read the Old Testament. It occurs in the New Testament also, but three times more often in the Old Testament. You think the Lord had a message there for His people? By contrast, if you think about the number of times words occur, the word Lord occurs 8,000 times. The word God is written more than 4,000 times. Do you think this is a book about the Lord, our God? Oh, yeah. If He's our Lord, He's our commander. He's our master. He's our boss. He's the head of things, okay? He's the one that tells us what to do. We don't tell Him what to do. We can ask. We can make requests. But we don't demand. The word heaven's written almost 600 times. But the word hell is found more than 50 times. So do you think the book is about the Lord our God and His domain, heaven? Oh, yeah. But He warns us about hell. He warns us that that eternal consequence is there. Jesus taught on hell. He preached that this is a place. It's a very real place, and it's a place of suffering. But that's not all the Bible teaches about. Some people want to pound the pulpit on just hell. Hell, fire, and brimstone. Yes, you all have heard me preach hell, fire, and brimstone at times. When the Lord brings a message on hell, fire, and brimstone, I'll deliver it. But He also talks about heaven more times. More than 10 times, 15 times, whatever it is, about heaven than on hell. Wisdom teaches us that God is our Lord. As I said, He's our supreme commander, our boss, our leader. And He's the one that we receive guidance from. And the Holy Ghost is the agent of God who fills us with, say the word, wisdom. He fills us with wisdom. The Holy Ghost fills us with wisdom. Wisdom, it says in Proverbs 4:7, is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. You see, the Holy Ghost cleans our hearts and He teaches us all truth. That's wisdom. He brings us to Almighty God, who is our Lord, who saves us. That is wisdom. Wisdom. The Holy Ghost, the agent of God who fills us with the wisdom of God. I want us to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 2 today. You'll find it on page 768 in your pew Bible. 1 Corinthians, and it's chapter 2. We will begin at verse 4. Verse 4 in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, page 768 in the pew Bible. We'll read through verse 16. This is Paul. He's preaching and teaching to the Corinthians, the people of Corinth, the church, the people of God. These are not unbelievers that he's preaching to, okay? And that's important for all of us to understand. He's preaching to believers, presumably those in the church of Corinth. And he says, beginning at verse 4, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. I trust that God will add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. And I want to break this down for you, okay? I'm going to break it down line by line. When you look at verses 4 and 5, he says, my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. In other words, you're not placing your faith in men. You're not placing your faith in Paul. You're not placing your faith in me. You're not placing your faith in some founder of some religious movement. You're placing your faith in the power of God to transform you by the renewing of your mind through His change agent, the Holy Ghost. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul let them and us know that the Holy Spirit is the one who guides. He guides those whom He uses to proclaim the good news. It's the Holy Spirit that guides me. This is why I pray for God to give me unction to speak, to give me that ability to have His word come from my mouth, not my own. And I'm an imperfect vessel, so I confess I'm tired. But God takes over. And He gives me the ability to speak. And sometimes I think He lets me get worn down so He can have a better vessel. Because I'm just wiped out. And I say, okay, God, it's up to you. And Paul's saying the same thing. He's saying, it's not me. It's God speaking through me. And we put our faith in God's power to save. That's the gospel. It's not our faith is being placed in men. It's not being placed in religion. It's being placed in God. And we look at verse 6. It's written, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature. He's speaking to the mature Christians in Corinth at that time. And he's reaching across the ages to all of us. Yet not the wisdom of this age, he says, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. He's giving God's wisdom to God's people who are mature in their faith. This is what he's delivering here. This is what he's saying. But he says it's not pop culture wisdom. He's not the guy that's going to get on TV and say, oh, you're going to feel good. He's not the guy that's going to pump out whatever the world pumps out. He's the guy that says God is in control. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says it's not the fashionable wisdom of worldly experts. This isn't Dr. Phil speaking. This is God. Okay? That's what he's saying. Because that worldly wisdom, it comes and goes, but the wisdom of God is eternal. The wisdom of God goes past. It surpasses all understanding except for those that God enlightens. His wisdom goes beyond the ages. What was wise 2,000 years ago is still wise today. It doesn't change because God is unchanging. In verse 7, We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. God ordained this. God chose for us to receive His wisdom long ago. It's a mystery. It's hidden wisdom. But God ordained for us to receive it. And I want you to hear from James in chapter 3 and verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, and it's peaceable and gentle. That wisdom is willing to yield. It's full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. That's walking in the wisdom of Almighty God. We're not partial to this one or that one. We're not partial to this group or that group. We're not going to be, what's the word they use today? Discriminating. He says it's peaceable. It's gentle. Willing to yield. I'm going to give my way to somebody else's way. And most dominantly to God's way. Full of mercy, good fruit, without hypocrisy. You don't say one thing and then do the other. That's what he's saying. That's wisdom. That's the wisdom of God. And in verse 8 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, none of the rulers of this age knew that wisdom, because if they had, they wouldn't have killed the Lord of glory. They wouldn't have done what they did. They were the religious leaders. They were the government leaders at the time. The religious leaders of the Jews were also their government leaders. But then they were ruled over by the civil government of the Romans. They crucified him. And those rulers at that time didn't have the spirit of wisdom. They didn't have the Holy Spirit, even though they were spiritual and governmental leaders. They didn't have the spirit of wisdom. They weren't intimate with the Holy Ghost, and therefore they were misguided. And yet, God used those misguided people to accomplish His will. If they'd have known that they were being used of God to bring salvation to humankind, they would not have killed Jesus, because that's not what they wanted. They wanted to kill Him to get Him out of the way. Stop His preaching, stop His teaching, stop His way, because His way conflicted with their way, and their way was of the wisdom of the world. Their way was silver, their way was gold, their way was rubies and other gems. Their way was amassing wealth in a human sense, not spiritual wealth. And Jesus said, there's a better way. That's not the way. And of all the people that He criticized, the majority of them were those people who ran religion at that time. Maybe we could learn something from Him in this time. Maybe there's some wisdom in that for us. If they knew that they were being used by God to bring salvation, they wouldn't have killed Him. But then in verse 9 he says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Do you love Him? And God has prepared things for those who love Him that they can't even comprehend, even with His wisdom. Paul brought the general ideas in this passage, in this sentence that he spoke. He was paraphrasing Isaiah 64 in verse 4. We have blessings that are beyond anything we can perceive. Here in this life and beyond. We can't imagine what God has prepared for us. God's blessings aren't limited any way, now or in the future. Heavenly blessings are only possible by the work of Christ, and that was only possible by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom. And then we come to the bottom line of it in verse 10. God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Okay, those things that aren't known to us, the Holy Spirit reveals to us. We don't have any earthly way of figuring it out. We have no mortal way of knowing the blessings that God has for us. But the Spirit searches out all things. Yes, the deep things of God. But what has God revealed to us by His Spirit? What has He revealed to us by His Spirit? He's revealed to us the things which He's prepared for those who love Him. That's what's connected. And that's why I wanted to go through this line by line so that you can actually understand what he's talking about here. Things that we can't know, God can teach us through his Spirit. And what are those things? Well, primarily the Messiah. We couldn't know the Messiah if it weren't for the Holy Spirit. He's the one that draws us. He's the one that brings us to the Messiah. He's the one that brings us to Almighty God through Christ our Lord. And he also teaches us love. He teaches us service. He teaches us sinless perfection. He teaches us the attributes of God. He teaches us all those things that are placed into us by his Spirit. Think of the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit. All of those are brought to us by the Spirit of wisdom, the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. In verse 11, he asks the question, "For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? You know what's in you. I know what's in me." And then he goes on to say, "Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God." And God's Spirit knows everything about God, and he's placed his Spirit in us. So guess what? He gives us insight. He gives us insight into knowing God, into being intimate with God, into having a comprehension of God that people without his Spirit do not have. If you haven't been filled with his Spirit, then it's time. It's time to bow yourself before him and allow him to fill you with his Spirit so that you can have that intimate knowledge of God. And the disciples of Jesus asked him why he spoke to the Jews in parables. He answered and said to them, "Because it's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom," that kingdom of heaven, "but to them it has not been given." We've been given that. We've been given that intimate knowledge of the kingdom of heaven. Where is it at? In the Bible. And by the Holy Spirit, we can discern what it is. We can bring that into ourselves. The religious leaders of that time were full of earthly wisdom. Oh yeah, they knew how to run their synagogues. They knew how to run their religion. But they had no part in the Spirit of God because, as Paul said, they wouldn't have killed Jesus if they had. They lacked spiritual wisdom and they were unable to perceive the truth of Jesus, the Messiah. They were looking for the Messiah, but because they had earthly wisdom and not spiritual wisdom, they could not discern that he was in fact the one. He was the Lord of glory. He broke the separation between humankind and God. He broke down that middle wall of separation. He made it so that we could be friends instead of enemies of God. He's the Lord of glory. He also broke down the separation between Jews and non-Jews. We talked about that in previous messages. He did that by the power of the Spirit of God. In verse 12, "We have received," it's written, "not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." We might know those things. We can know those things. We have the ability to know those things that have been given to us by Almighty God through his Spirit. He's given us gifts. He has given us abilities. He has taken us from this earthly realm and put us in the spiritual realm, into the heavenly realm by his Spirit. And we have the power by his Spirit to overcome all. His word says we have all power over all the power of the enemy. We can overcome everything. And we need to learn by his Spirit, through his word, what it is that we have the authority and the power to do. We've been given the gifts. We've been given that. And we can build on what he's given us, that foundation of Jesus Christ. We can build upon that. We can build for him and his kingdom other souls that come in. We can do that. We've received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit from God. And there's two parts there. We receive the Spirit of God, not the spirit of the world. And in 1 John chapter 4, we can get a clue about that. "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you've heard that it should come, and now already is it in the world. That was then. If the spirit of Antichrist was in the world then, don't you think that by now it's even worse? Of course it is. He said, you've heard it should come. Even now it's already here. You're children of God. Little children. And you've overcome them. Because greater. Some of us know this passage very well. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If in fact you have the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, he is greater than any spirit in the world, and you have power over all the power of the enemy. And the second part of that verse answers, why receive the Spirit of God? Why? Why receive the Spirit of God? So we can know the gifts that God gives us. We won't know the gifts that God gives us if we don't have the Spirit who can reveal them to us. His gifts are eternal. And yet, right here and right now, in other words, they transcend time. His gifts are with us, and yet they're beyond us. And His Spirit makes it possible for us to realize those gifts in our lives. He's gifted us salvation from sin. He has gifted us salvation from sin. That's the first step in our salvation. We are saved from our sins. We are no longer imprisoned in sin. We've been set free. He's opened the gate. He says, come on out. Unfortunately, there are teachers today in the Christian church, or so-called Christian church, I have to add, who teach that you can stay in your sin and you're still free. You can't be free if you're in bondage, and you are in bondage to the one that you give yourself to. If it's sin, then you're a slave to sin. If it is righteousness, then you're a slave to righteousness. Who defines sin? God. We don't get to define it. And so much of the church in the world today is redefining sin. Oh no, that's not sin anymore. It used to be, but it's not anymore. Or they don't even say it used to be. They just say it isn't. But God says it is. And we're to live according to His way, by His Spirit, in His will, living His life. And that life that He gives us is His. It's not ours. If it weren't for the grace of God, I'd be dead, folks. I'd have been in a car accident. Well, see, I was in a couple of car accidents. One was a flaming car accident. Broke my back. Devil wanted me dead. God said, no, not yet. You can do anything but kill him. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Jesus is Lord. See, I proclaim that. Can you proclaim Jesus is Lord? Say it out loud. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. John chapter 15 and verse 26. We hear it's recorded that Jesus said, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, He shall testify of me. The Spirit of truth testifies of Christ. He comes from the Father. He proceeds from the Father. Jesus sent him from the Father. And he testifies of Christ. In verse 14 of the passage that we started with, we read, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So we don't have the Spirit of God. If we do not have the Spirit of God, we may not, we cannot, we are unable to discern the things of the Spirit. We can't. It's written. And when it's written, it's true. When it's true, it's telling you, if you do not have the Spirit of Almighty God, then you need to ask God for His Spirit. You want the Spirit of wisdom, the wisdom of God. We're all natural men and women before the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us, and none of us, none, not one of us, has the ability to comprehend spiritual matters until receiving the wisdom of God. We may not, we cannot, it's just not possible. Jesus told a Pharisee named Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto you, Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God? It's a spiritual kingdom. But if you're not born again, you can't see it. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now, he's thinking in the physical. He's thinking in the physical realm. He's not able to discern the spiritual matter that Jesus has just laid out before him. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a religious leader at that time. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, when he's saying about being born of water, he's referring to that act of obedience. When we step into the water of baptism, and he says, our sins are washed away, it's by the act of God. He does the work. And there's a symbolic reason that we go under the water. It's a death, a burial, and then the resurrection when we're raised up. We're brought into new life. We are transformed by God, not ourselves. So except you be born of water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 15, we read, but he who is spiritual judges all things. And judging here is discernment. He says, he who is spiritual has discernment over everything. And he himself is rightly judged by no one. So nobody can judge us. We're not given over to these unspiritual people to be judged. God's not going to judge us by their standards. We get to discern the truth. The contemporary English version of the Bible has a different way of stating that. It says, spiritually alive, we have access to everything God's Spirit is doing and can't be judged by unspiritual critics. God's not going to hold us up to their standard. He holds us up to His own standard. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we hear, do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test, discern all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. If we don't test, or if we don't discern, we don't judge those things and hold fast to what's good, we are quenching the Spirit. If we don't abstain from every form of evil, we are quenching the Spirit. We refrain from every form of evil. We are not quenching the Spirit. You think in this illustration of the Holy Spirit like fire burning within us, and we embrace some form of evil, it's like pouring water on that fire, quenching the Spirit. In verse 16, the last verse of that passage we started with, it's written, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Who has known the mind of the Lord? And then he answers the question, but we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ by the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of wisdom. Paul recites Isaiah's question, who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? That was Isaiah that was asking that question. And he answers it by reminding us that we have the mind of Christ to instruct us. We have the wisdom of God, if in fact we have His Spirit. Are we filled with the Holy Spirit? If we are, we have the mind of Christ. If we have the mind of Christ, the only sinless man to ever live, then we know, we can discern between right and wrong. We can discern between truth and error. We can discern between sin and righteousness. It's the Spirit of God teaches us to fear Him. The wisdom of God every believer has access to teaches us to revere Him and serve Him to His glory. And as I wrap this up, I speak to you who are wise-hearted, whom God has filled with the Spirit of wisdom. Consecrate yourselves in the knowledge of the Lord. Set yourselves apart. Consecration is a setting apart. These books or hymn books, for example, they are consecrated. They're set apart. They're something different. They're not the same as the rest of the world. You can get books on music all over the world. But the consecrated, the set apart books, they're set apart for God. They're set apart for His worship. But if you lack that spirit of wisdom, anybody who hears this message needs to follow the instruction of James chapter 1 and verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. It will be given to him. If you lack wisdom, wisdom will be given to you if you ask. But then, hear Jesus as he says to all, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Ask, Jesus said, and you will receive. Ask, and you will receive. Not you might, you could. He's not saying maybe. He's saying you will. Ask for the Spirit, and you will receive the Spirit. But remember this. Remember what's written in James when you ask. Don't ask for the Holy Spirit so that you can have power for yourselves. I heard a preacher one time. He said that he wanted the Holy Spirit. He wanted more power for his programs. He wanted more power for his preaching. He wanted more power to do the work that he did. He said, God didn't give him the Holy Spirit. And he asked God, why? And God said, because you want more power for your preaching. You want more power for your witnessing. You want more power for you. No, that's not the purpose of receiving the Holy Ghost. It's not the purpose of receiving the Holy Spirit. It's not the purpose of receiving the Spirit of wisdom. No, it's wrong. It results in nothing but disappointment. And here's why. Because it's written in James chapter 4 and verse 3. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you might spend it on your pleasures. Oh, it pleases me to be able to preach the Word of God. It does, because I want to glorify God. In my own flesh, there could be a root of pride. This is, hey, I knocked that one out of the park. And I've got to say, no. God. And typically, whenever somebody says, hey, Pastor, it was a good message. Thank you. I say, praise God. Because it's only by His grace that I'm able even to stand here. As I was at that funeral yesterday, I got to thinking about that. You know, there was a number of times, I won't go into them now, but there were a number of times I could have been dead. At 15, I had a life vest on. I was in the river down in Pittsburgh. My dad was talking to a friend of his, and I tried to pull that life vest off, and it got stuck on my head, and it was holding me under the water. Couldn't pull it forward, couldn't move it backward. My dad had no idea. I was under the water with that life vest stuck on my head, holding me down. I couldn't get my head above water. By the grace of God, I was able to nudge it back. Somehow, I got it back. Just in time to breathe. Could have been dead. The devil wanted me dead. He saw the work that God had for me. And he knew that I'd surrender to God. And God knew that too. So whenever somebody says, hey, good work, Pastor, I say, praise God. Not that I don't think that God can use me. Not that I don't think that He has trained me and raised me up, just like He can train and raise up each and every one of you who hear this message. But you don't want to be doing it for your own power, for your own good, for your own whatever, your own enrichment. Although, when you have the Spirit of wisdom, He will enrich you. Remember, Jesus said, whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. You will. So, if you're not sure if you have the Holy Ghost, if you're not sure you're filled with His Spirit, ask Him and believe and receive. Do you want the wisdom of God? Then say yes. And to say yes is to invite the Holy Ghost into your life. But beware. Because He will guide you into all truth. That's what Jesus said. Not just that part of the truth that suits you or that's comfortable to you. All truth. He will give you wisdom. He will give you discernment. He'll give you the ability to know the difference between right and wrong in every circumstance. And you will then be faced with the choice. Do I choose what's right or do I do what's best by me? And sometimes what's right is not what's best for you necessarily in this life. Then the wisdom of God will bring discernment. And that enables you to do what's pleasing in God's sight. And that, my friends, that's what consecrates you. That's what sets you apart from the rest of the world. And it's not a prideful thing. It's not something to elevate yourself with. It's just you'll know, I don't fit in this world. I'm an ambassador. I'm bringing the message of God. I'm delivering His kingdom message. This isn't my home. This isn't my land. Oh yes, I love my country. Yes, I'm enjoying that I live in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. I appreciate Butler County. I like Shakora, Pennsylvania. But this isn't my home. I'm an ambassador. And so I bring the Spirit of wisdom. And I say, here, He's for you. What do you say? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we close this message, I thank You for giving me unction to speak. I thank You for enabling me to prepare the notes, Lord, that guided me, I think, in some organized fashion. I speak to the wise-hearted, Jew filled with the Spirit of wisdom, and I speak to those, Lord, who have yet to be filled with Your Spirit. For those who are filled with Your Spirit, Lord, I ask that they would continue to walk in Your will, that they would use the discernment, the wisdom that You give, the Spirit of wisdom that You have endowed them with, to follow the instructions of Your Word. We know that we give good gifts to our children, and we know that You will give the Holy Spirit to all who ask. And so, Lord, anybody who hears this message that perhaps does not know for certain that they have Your Spirit, I pray that they would pray, that they would ask, but not for their own power, not for their own results, not for their own anything, but that they would use what You give them to build Your kingdom, to Your glory, to Your pleasure. Help us to hear Jesus as He speaks across the ages to each of us. So we ask in prayer, help us to believe that we will receive. I pray this all in Christ's name. And all of God's people said, Amen. Now we're going to open our hymnals to number 394. 394. And we're going to sing, I Surrender All. You think about that. We're just going to sing the four verses. It's not a real long hymn. Number 394.